Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Beautiful day outside. Isn't it wonderful to have that cool air back? Hey, let me jump in real quick before I do that. Let me stop and say, if you're watching online, thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking time. If it's your first time with us, if you're in the room, it's an honor to have you here. Find somebody if you have any problem, you need anything that has a little sticker that says I'm here to help, and they will do just that. And help you out. But I want to get my plug in real quick. Melanie hit on something, well, actually two things real quick. On the app, I'm encourage you again, if you have any problems, if you were giving online and you want to need some help to make that switch, we're more than happy to help you. I said this last week, I'm a firm believer in that every dollar that comes through this house that we're responsible for. I actually believe that I'll have to stand before God and account for every dollar. That's how serious I take it. And all these changes will help us be more efficient, help us be better stewards of God's money. So it's not just about the app. There is some very practical things behind this change. So if you need help with that, please let us know. The second thing is, coming up in 2 weeks is step one. If you haven't noticed, we're growing, and we've got lots of people coming through. And I just want to encourage you. I teach step one. And I will for as long as I have any say-so about it, because it's a great chance for me just to get to know you in a smaller setting, to be able to sit in a class with you and talk about the church and who we are and what we do and why we do what we do, but then also get to know you and put a name and a face together, because sometimes y'all just all kind of blur together. And I recognize faces, but names just take me a minute to connect. So it's a good chance for me to do that. And it's a no pressure thing. If you just want to come check it out and find out what we're about and what we're doing, then come on, we'll serve you lunch. And if you think and decide, hey, this is not where my home is going to be, then we will help you find a home, because I truly believe you need to be plugged in somewhere. You need to be a part of a body. And there are a lot of great churches and a lot of great pastors in our city, in our county, and we will help you find where God wants you to be. Last week, I must have touched some nerves, because I got more response talking about forgiveness and letting some stuff go and releasing people. So I encourage you, if you missed it, go on to our website, go on to Facebook, YouTube. You can watch the video on demand there from last week. And last week, that was number one in our survey. If you're visiting and wondering what I'm talking about, in Easter, we do what we call a spiritual survey, where I have a list of topics we give to you guys, because on Easter, most of you are here, so we can get the best response. And then we take those topics and then teach on them. And last week was the number one requested. Today is another one that appears in the top five most years and is actually number three. And I must say, we are some stressed out people. That number three was stress. How do I deal with stress? How do I reduce stress? There are doctors that are telling you, hey, you need to reduce your stress. Your heart's going to explode. We're so wound up. We got so much on us. That last 2 years probably hasn't helped. COVID, constant change. What's true today is not true tomorrow. Our kids go to school every day. No, they don't. You're sick for 2 days with kids. It's normally about right. Well, now it's 2 weeks. You got to get tested for this. And it just, nothing was secure anymore. And this one, honestly, right now for me, I'm right in the middle of. I try to do my best to come up here and take a deep breath, because this part's easy to me. Like, my stress is not here. I can do this. My stress is during the week, Monday to Saturday, and doing what I feel like God's got us to do and getting everybody going the same direction. And somebody told me the other day, well, all you really got to do is get ready for Sunday. I'm like, I will invite any of you who wants to come share my work with me. Come on. You never know what you might find us doing. Bob will call and say, hey, we got this going on. Can you help me? Or I'm calling him. Can you come over here and help me? And you name it, we've done it. And I much appreciate Bob, because his attitude is whatever we got to do to take care of God's houses, we'll do. But it's not just this prep. So my stress is not here. But you know, life seems to be a bit like a conveyor belt. If you ever watch, and this will date me, but remember, there's an old I Love Lucy, way back, where she works in a factory, and it's a classic time, and she's doing whatever they're doing, and she messes up, and the conveyor line just keeps coming. See, I feel like that's the way we live life. we're at the end of it just catching it, and then we drop one and something breaks or something heavy comes off the end and the stress gets us and it doesn't slow down. We just keep catching. And then we're stuffing in our pockets and we're putting on extra backpacks and we got an extra luggage and we never resolve anything. We never let the stress not be our problem. It just piles on and gets faster. Well, Job writes about this in the Old Testament. I won't go into the whole story, but go read the book of Job. If anybody had a reason to be stressed, it was Job. But Job writes this in Job chapter 9, verse 25. He says, "My life passes more swiftly than a runner, and it flees away without any glimpse." Not even a glimpse of what? Some of our lives, this is what we're doing. Anybody made this statement lately? I can't believe it's October already. I can't believe it's, you know, Friday, or it's Sunday, or, oh God, it's Monday again. See, we're living our lives, and Job writes, my life is running, and I'm not even catching a glimpse of happiness. It's just zipping by me. I guarantee you, if you ask 10 people now, how are you, or how's life, you're going to get 8 out of 10 people to say something like this. I got a lot going on. I'm trying to keep up. I'm trying to catch up. Trying to keep my head above water, right? We're walking through all this COVID stuff, and a current generation, Melanie and I were talking, and I'm noticing even in my own kids that sometimes the instability of, well, I went to school for 7 years, and now suddenly I'm out of school for 12 weeks, and school used to look like this, and now it doesn't. We used to go to a lunchroom, and now we don't. But even our kids don't really know. They're stressed because they don't know where to hang their hat. Something's changing every day. And during the height of the COVID stuff, it seemed like hourly what was true 10 minutes ago wasn't. And stress comes from having this uncertainty. All of us seem to go from chasing one thing to the next, catching the next thing, trying to keep stuff from hitting the ground. And look what Luke says. Luke wrote the book of Luke in the New Testament. Luke was actually a doctor. And he says, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down. And then it lists the stuff that we think the religious folk would say to us. It's still true, but we get hung up on this. It says, with carousing and drunkenness. And then I highlighted these words. And the anxieties of life. Don't you think that's a broad category? I mean, the carousing and drunkenness and all that stuff can be fit into one little area. But the anxieties of life, because what makes me anxious may not make you anxious. If I said to you now, I'm going to pick somebody to come up here and finish the message, and I do this a lot just to watch all y'all's faces like, oh God, no, 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 not me. Because it may not be okay for you. You come up here and your anxiety is going to shoot through the roof, right? Right? No? Okay, y'all want me to try it and pick somebody? Then let's be honest. We kind of freak out. I don't want to be up there. I can't imagine that. But look what it says. Luke goes, he says, and, in the next part of the verse, and the anxieties of life and the day will close in on you suddenly like a trap. You ever felt that way? Like life just kind of closing in? I remember the first time I went to, it was the first time I gave blood here. And we were at the hospital and I sat down and the girl that was taking mine, which I was fine with. She said, this is like my first day. I was like, oh. She's like, reek, reek, reek. I was okay. It was cool. And I said, well, let me just warn you. I said, I have easy veins to find, but don't turn the little valve thing wide open. I said, because you're going to find me in the floor because it's going to go fast. Okay. And I watch it like, and I'm like waving at the lady and the bag is like bulging. And she comes running over and cuts it off. And I'm sorry. I think I'm okay. I get to the table where they give you juice and crackers. And anybody ever had this feeling? Like, and I was like, who's messing with the lights? And then all of a sudden, I think it was Miss Regina. Y'all, somebody helped me with her last name at the hospital. Anyway, I felt a cold press come on my neck. And she said, I think you're about to pass out. I was like, oh, that's what that is. And then it kind of started coming back. And they started giving me juice. It had just taken too much out of me, but it closed in on me just like that. And I couldn't even recognize what it was. But Luke says, hey, we need to watch out for this. It's going to close in on. But we go into these, I call them today modes. We go into these modes to cope with it, to deal with it, to not fix the stress, but just deal with it. And we'll talk about it in a minute, but there are stress that we have to deal with. That's part of everyday life. The Bible never promises us that life is going to be sunshine, rainbows, and Skittles. There's going to be some tough times and tough decisions and some stress. But we get into these modes. We think, well, I can manage this. Or we even ignore them. Or we say, well, I can work the problems. And we get stuck in these four modes. And I want to give you these things real quick. And the devil, you need to know this. The devil uses these things to hurt you, to make you ineffective, and to separate you from what's important in life. The first one is we go into survival mode. This is where we stop fighting. This is where, as Christians, sometimes we just go, listen, this is just too much. I don't have any more energy. I'm just going to try to get through the day. I stop. Maybe you're just tired, and if you're watching this morning and you're tired and you didn't come, we still love you. But the devil tells us, hey, you could sleep in, take a nap. You can watch church later. Don't get me wrong. I am so blessed that we can come from here straight all over the world. But those of you in the room, I hope, agree, there's nothing like being together. And sometimes the devil begins to use these modes to separate us and to separate you first, not from church and God, but from the people. And then it's a quick road to then cut you off on the rest. But it's not healthy. It's not healthy physically or mentally. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:4 that it says, to reject the law is to praise the wicked. To obey the law or God's rules, God's wisdom, is to fight them. To fight against the devil, to fight against the wicked things coming at us. In the New Testament, James writes this, and we get hung on the first part of this verse that says, so humble yourselves before God. Okay, you do that, but look what it also says. Resist the devil and he'll what? He'll flee. You mean I can make the devil run from me? Yes. See, because we're not resisting because Clint's got the strength or Keith has got the strength or any one person has got this strength. The Bible says you resist him because you've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and your Savior Jesus inside of you. That's how you resist. But when you do, the Bible says the devil will flee. Well, survivor mode leads us to this mode. And I didn't know what else to call it, so I was dorky, but it'll work. I called it the surf mode. You see, stress not only sends us into survival mode, it causes us to live solely by our emotions. And I don't know if you have noticed, even for the most even-keeled person in the room, our emotions do this, right? They come in waves. You're happy one minute, you're sad the next. You're happy one minute, you're sad the next. Any of you have kids and had a pregnant wife can have seen your wife like, I'm happy, and then you're sad, and then you're happy. And we as men are like, just clueless. But even for us, emotion comes in waves. If you don't believe me, turn on a football game. Right? We're screaming, jumping, yay, and then like that. We like sullen and sad and the world's ending. I called it surf mode because a lot of us live by our emotions and we just ride the wave of whatever emotion is pushing us along. Stress not only sends us to that survival, but it takes over a place that God was supposed to be. Because here's the problem. Your emotions will lie to you. Y'all are looking like, huh? Right? Your emotions will lie to you. You're riding from here to Statesboro. Your car breaks down. Something happens. Your mind and your emotions are telling you the world's over. The world's coming to an end. Something doesn't happen. Something happens that's unexpected. It's not positive. Everything is the worst ever. Your kids come to you and something's wrong. What do they say it's a minor issue? No, whatever it is, it's like the world is ending. The internet's out, right? My cell phone won't work. Right? Big things, and we ride these emotions. But your emotions will lie to you. Your emotions will tell you, hey, it's okay. If you do this, it'll make you feel better. If you go over here and do something to try to assuage these emotions, it'll make you feel better. But it doesn't work that way. They'll lie to you. Even Job, back to him in Job chapter 9, verse 29, he says, whatever happens, he's kind of whining to God, I'll be found guilty. So he says, why even try? Anybody said that before? You get so stressed out, you get to a place like, just whatever. I'm just going to ride this wave of despair. And we kind of wallow in it and ride this wave of emotion. And it's not healthy. Stress tends to send emotions into overdrive. And we think it'll help. But again, God did not create us to be led by our emotions. Now, this is a little bit of theology for you, and it's just truth. God did not create you to be led by your emotions or even your will. God created us to be led by His Spirit. The real you is the Spirit that lives inside this body. That's what the Bible is talking about. And that's what us connected with God, God speaking His Spirit to me, and me go, oh, wait, I shouldn't do that. It's more than just your conscience. That's how God built us to live. Decisions, here, you need to know this. Decisions lead, and I should have put it on the screen for you, I didn't. Decisions lead, feelings follow. Say it with me. Decisions lead and follow. And I can prove it to you. A lot of times people use this scripture about money, but this verse in Matthew 6, 21 says, for where, and I highlighted where, your treasure is, there your heart will be. What is it talking about? It's talking about a decision. Because I can open anybody, if you came today and I pulled one of you again up here and you're panicking because I'm pulling you up here and said to me, now I want you to open your checkbook and your balance and everything you've spent in the last 6 months and we're going to put it on the screen behind us. How quick do we see what's important to them? Real quick. Because why? Because what's important to you, your money goes there. Your house payment, I guarantee you, it's going to show up. Why? Because you wouldn't be living in the house anymore if you didn't. Your car payment, it's going to be there. See, our decisions lead and our feelings will follow. There are sometimes getting to church in the morning, and I will tell you, for me, it was this morning. Like, it's a decision. Get up. Put one foot down. Put your other foot down. Get in the shower. You know, it's for me, it was very much a decision. And I had to make my body and my feelings and my heart and I'll follow. Listen to the third one. The third one is going kind of in the opposite direction of the first two. So the first one's survival mode, surf. The third one is this mode of just do more. Ecclesiastes 10 in the Old Testament says, using a dull axe requires great strength. Sharpen, and I would insert the word dummy in here, but God didn't. Use a dull axe requires great strength. So dummy, sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. It's this idea that I can just do more and I'll make the stress go away. I can work more. I can work more hours. I can do this on my own strength. We become so self-focused. We ignore wisdom that I can do more on my own than I can with God. Let me give you a great example. And this is not a money message, but it fits. And when you start talking about tithing and you start teaching people about what tithing is. And simply put, the Bible teaches that the first 10% is God's. Quite frankly, if everybody in church globally just did what God said, we wouldn't need the government to feed people because we could feed people because the church would be so well funded. It's another day. But tithing is something that people learn, and when they'll often say, well, I need that 10%. In other words, I can do more with my 100% than I could ever do with the 90 that I have left. See, that's just not true. You can do more with God's 90% than you could ever do with 100. You can reduce stress in your life, and I love watching this light go off with people. And the only way you can experience that light bulb going off is to just do it. We'll teach on it one day. But letting wisdom lead, you can go faster by being smarter and slowing down. You can do more. Let wisdom lead, not you. Don't do more because I'm driven. I got to reduce stress. I got to make the bill payments. It's just not going to help. There's a lot that teaches. Go faster by slowing down. If you talk to any of the guys, there's guys in the room here now that are in fire and police, and the training they teach you to go faster by slowing down, be methodical, go through it. And a lot of us need to live our lives. We just need to slow down. Stop trying to do so much. We're trying to cram. We're trying to cram more into the box of our life than our box can contain. And it just doesn't work. Something's got to give. Sometimes we increase the stress because we don't get better. Going back to the axe reference, sometimes just getting the axe better, sharpening that blade, makes life go a whole lot more. But that requires a decision to stop. Wisdom says stop. We try to carry our own hurts, carry our own wounds, carry our own failures, carry our own issues. Instead of, actually the Bible says that in Proverbs, that as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Instead of doing more, how about getting somebody else to come alongside you? Let me give you our solution, get in a grow group. It's what we call our small groups. Get somebody else in your life that can come alongside you and maybe contribute to your life and bring you some peace and maybe help you out. Let me give you the last one. The last one is isolation mode. See, we not only push people and relationships away, what we do when we're stressed is we begin to push God away. We don't want to hear the wisdom. I don't want to hear him say, well, you need to slow down. You need to maybe make a tough decision and let something go. See, David writes this in Psalm 22:11. He writes, don't be far from me. He's talking to God. For trouble is near and there is no one to help. In other words, God, don't go far because you're the only one that can help me. And he's telling him, hey, you move. When the truth is, he's telling him not to move. And that's what we tell God. We feel distant from God. And the truth is, we've moved. God's never moved. See, the stress of the day begins to mess with us, and it numbs our senses that God is even close. I know I'm not the only one, so I'm expecting some response. But anybody else just felt like you've been in a stress and you're being squeezed and like, God, where are you? Like, you're gone. I don't feel you anymore. You're obviously not helping me because I'm in this tough spot. But David, he tells David, no, I haven't gone anywhere. See, God's close, and the stress of life numbs our senses when we begin to push our relationships away because we want to deal with it ourselves. David even writes in Psalms, King David says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to the grave, you're there. See, God hasn't moved. God never left. It's just we become numb to it. So let's be honest for a minute. Stress is going to happen. If you're in school, you're going to have to go take that test and sweat it out and be nervous, and that's just part of life. If you're a grown-up and you're going to have to make tough decisions, and sometimes it's decisions that have very real consequences or decisions that may not be liked by everybody. So there is stress in this world. But we're gonna have to begin to place value. What's valuable? What is worth the capacity I have to go through stress and to handle stress? Where is that best value? And choose to do this. So I'm gonna give you how we avoid these traps, these modes that we go into. And the only way you're going to do this, and I know this is kind of straight at it. I mean, this is as plain as I can put it. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to decide what really matters. What's really of value? Because if we went across our lives and we begin to talk into each one of us, I could probably pretty much predict, because it's true in my life, most of our stress comes over something that is really, when we're honest, is of very little value. It's not that big a deal. It may be a big item, a big object, a big part of our lives, but it's honestly not that big a deal. And we stress out over it. I'm convinced we spend more time ignoring God, trying to fit more things into our life, than we do just slowing down and letting God be a part of it. This space in our lives that all this stuff is never going to fit. But I'm convinced of this. I didn't say this. I didn't have room to put it in the thing, but this comes from a guy by the name of Pastor Chris Hodges that pastors Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, and he said this to me one time, and it stuck. Burnout comes from not doing too much, but from doing things that don't have eternal value. See, most of the time when people come, Clint, I'm so burned out, my marriage is falling apart, and we start looking and we begin to see the where and where you put the stuff you care about, you begin to find out that most of the time you're putting your stuff in things that just don't matter. They don't have value. They're going to be gone either one day or tomorrow or even sooner. See, our life is designed, our life is space designed by God, and it's designed to have God in the middle. He doesn't sit on the edge of the box. He doesn't sit near the box. He is in the dead center of the box that is our lives. And sometimes taking stock more about what we need to stop putting in our box and maybe letting go, and we don't want to do that. We just want to get more stuff. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 24, an intelligent person aims at wise actions. In other words, instead of me hacking on a log with a dull axe, what wisdom says, sharpen the axe. But it says a fool starts off in many directions. I don't know if you've ever done one, but some leadership stuff I've done and been a part of, they'll do group tasks, and they'll put you in a group with people you've never met and say, okay, you're going to have to like build something out of paper and some scotch tape. It's got to accomplish this. And if you've ever watched teams, the teams that have somebody in them that says, stop, wait, let's make a good decision here, let's think this through, will almost always come out on top. Versus the team that when they say ready, set, go, and the whole team just goes in different directions. It would be, since we're in football season, we can use football. It would be like we're running a play, but all 11 people on the field and on the offense all choose their own play. So it's ready, set, go, and all 11 people just go in different directions. How effective is that going to be? It's not. And there are a lot of teams yesterday that probably wish they had listened because they lost yesterday because they were all on different pages. But the Bible says use wisdom. And you need, it may take slowing down, and you may have to really decide what's of value. The second thing you're going to have to do is make some tough calls. And I'm just going to tell you straight up, this is hard. This is hard for me, but it's what a lot of us need to do. And when I say tough calls, there's a lot of us sitting right now, and when I say this, something's going to pop into your head. You know there's something you need to stop doing, and you know there's something you need to start doing. It's not a question. You know it, but the problem is I'm not willing to take the effort to make that tough call to stop doing something that's hurting me, to start doing something that's helping me, to stop hanging out with the person that's toxic, to stop living in such a way that is hurting me, to start reading my Bible every day, to start doing things that are healthy for me. I said that yesterday. I was at a birthday party yesterday thinking, I need to change the way I eat. Cupcake. Right? I need to change the way I eat. Make me another pizza, Frank. You know? But see, there's tough calls to be made, and we don't want to make them. We complain about our kids. I need to change this behavior in my kids. Yeah, but you let them tell you what to do. You don't tell them what to do. I need to change this action in my family. Yeah, but you're letting them lead, and you're not leading your family and letting God. There's tough decisions that we have to make. See, we live in a world sometimes that it's not so great, and it presents us with decisions that are not fun. It doesn't give me pleasure. My daughter Mabel's sitting on the front row. It doesn't give me pleasure to discipline her, but it gives me great joy to know that 20 years from now, she'll still be serving God because I did. Right? It's a tough call we got to make. It's a tough call to tell your kids, no, I know you want to go do this, but you're not because you can't see, you don't have the wisdom yet to see this is a bad idea. It's making some tough calls. But the stress sends us into these modes, survival mode, surf mode, isolation mode. And I think because we just don't trust God enough to make the call, to let him lead. The Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus actually addresses trusting God. It says, listen, Jesus shouted to the crowd, listen, if you trust me, you're not just trusting me, but who? Daddy, the guy who sent me. God who sent me. You're trusting him. Skip down a few verses in John 12:49. It says, hey, I don't speak of my own authority, and I highlighted it behind me, but the what? The Father. Notice it's a capital F. You're not just trusting me, you're trusting God. And I only do what he's commanded me to do. And I only say what he's commanded me to say. See, Jesus had to make some tough calls. He had to make the decision. I'm going to stay on the cross, because he had every right and every authority to take himself down and command the angels to come get him and be done with it. But he didn't. He goes on in verse 50 and says, I know the commands, his commands lead to eternal life, so I say whatever the Father tells me to say. The next thing you're going to have to do, and this one is going to cause us to have to do some evaluation and really listen to the Spirit of God within us. And that is, you're going to have to pursue what matters most. You decide what matters most, and then you pursue what matters most. I've always said, if you want to see the stress of life off, you can do this. You can prioritize, then pursue what you prioritize, and then serve what matters. Because God's always going to point you to people. He's always going to point you toward, in some manner, toward serving the thing that's most important to him. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 says that life is not measured by how much you own. I truly believe, the Bible says that when we get to heaven, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And the Bible says, in heaven, you get rewards for what you've done here on earth. I truly believe that when you get to heaven, God's going to start talking about things. You just thought you were packing food bags to feed a kid at school, but you don't know that that kid did this and this happened, and somebody came to know me because you packed that bag. Or you mowed a yard, or you served in the nursery, or you were a greeter or an usher, or you sang on the praise team, or you serve somebody, because you pursue what matters most. So real quick, let me break this down. I'm going to give you some, we asked the question, what matters? I'm going to give you, in three very specific terms, what matters, and then we can operate from there. The first thing should be obvious. God matters. God matters. The Bible's very clear in Matthew 6:33. Seek first. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And then he'll handle everything else. See, we don't live that way. Stress causes us to deprioritize stuff. And God seems to shuffle down to the bottom. Because I watch it all the time. And if you've said this to me, I get it. Because I've been doing this for 20-something years now, and I've heard it, and I get it. But how many times that I'm told, I'll see you on, we'll be there Sunday. We will be there Sunday. You can count on us. Right, and then point to the husband. We'll be there on Sunday, right? Yep, we will be there on Sunday. Then Friday happens. Then Saturday happens. Whatever happens on Saturday. And God and relationship and staying close to him and reading the Bible and all that kind of just starts settling down to the bottom. Because whatever happens Saturday is now more important. See, God matters. And the Bible says, and this is one that you're just going to have to trust me and then step it out, and you'll come back to me and say, Clint, you were right. But this is one thing I'm so grateful to my family. My mom and dad drilled this in me. You serve God first, and he'll take care of everything else. When I was in college, by the time I got to college going through high school, my dad would drag me after football practice and baseball practice. I was tired and stunk, and the church we went to growing up had a Wednesday night service, and he would drag me in, and I would sit in the back of service like this, mad, because I knew I had 2 hours of homework to do and stuff to do. But he demonstrated to me that when you put God first, he takes care of you. When I went to college and I went into seminary, it was ingrained in me. And God always came through. I'm just telling you, if you live this, prioritize and pursue. The second thing, the thing that's most important to God matters, and the thing that's most important to God is people. People. The Bible says that we are created in the image of God. Nothing else is. We don't go to heaven and be angels. We're not. The Bible says that we're above the angels. We are more important to God than anything on the earth, anything that he created. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says to use your freedom to do what? Serve yourself? No. To serve one another, to work for each other, to help each other. People matter. The Bible goes on to actually say, right before that, it says, serve humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled. Why the whole law? Why? Because God's most precious possession is made up when you love each other as yourself. And I'll tell you this, this is free. You want to know one of the greatest stress relievers? Just now, when I say this, think of the problem that stresses you the most. Ready? Think of the problem that stresses you the most, and something pops in your head. Now, you want to reduce the stress or even watch that problem work it out? Go find somebody else with a problem that you can help and help them. Serve them. And then watch what happens to the problems in your life. Go do what God's gifted you to do and serve somebody else, and you'll see him deal with the stress of your life. This one's not in the notes, not on the slide, but the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure, and a man goes and sells everything he has to buy it. Why did he sell everything he owned to buy the field? Why is it worth everything? And this is your final one, ushers and a band, you guys can do your thing. Why is it worth everything? Because eternity matters. God matters, people matter, and eternity matters. Why? Because this may sound silly to say it this way, but eternity is forever. Life here, the Bible says, is but a breath. God matters, people matter, and eternity matters. The things that weigh us down, the things that pile on stress, are not eternal. Some of us, and including me, and this is the irony of this, is I'm telling you this about the job that I do, this my job and how I feed my family. But my job is not eternal. The job that you feel is the center of your universe, you can be grateful for and grateful that God's blessed you, but it is not your eternity. The team that you cheered for yesterday that let you down and failed you because they lost, Cowboys. Oh, would that slip out? The team that you cheered for that wins every game and you nobody on that team died to save your soul. Nobody you're cheering, this is what's even funnier, is we sit in our living room screaming at the TV like they can even hear us. You go to the game, you're screaming even louder. They still can't hear you. See, the Bible says that we were designed to spend eternity with him, with God. But I never said that things here on this earth weren't important. I just think they're out of priority. They're out of order. God matters, people matter, and eternity matters. And you want the first two to show up in the third. Because if we don't, nothing else matters. Don't you bow your head and close your eyes real quick? God, I ask you in Jesus' name just to begin to minister to our hearts. Father, maybe even those in the room who they don't know Jesus. They've never made that commitment to say, God, you saved me. I just need to receive it. God, help us. Help us see it. For those in the room who said, Clint, I've never done that. I've never received Jesus. The Bible says it's really easy. That you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth this one thing, that Jesus is who he says he is. That God sent him. He died for you. He paid the price you couldn't pay for the sin you couldn't pay for. Why? Because eternity matters. That's why we do what we do in a nutshell here, to get people to take one step from having an eternity that's not good to having an eternity that's God designed. And if that's you this morning, I'm not going to make you run up here. I'm just going to ask you to just wave at me. All eyes are closed, heads are bowed, and wave at me. I need you to include me in that prayer. I need to just take this first step and then let God help me. If that's you online, shoot us a message. Is there anybody else in the room? Okay, let's pray. Why don't we do this all together? Everybody in the room, say, Lord Jesus, Come on, some of you were cheering for teams that lost yesterday and God didn't lose. Say, Lord Jesus, today I receive your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your son Jesus. Forgive me, Father, for not getting it right. I walk with you now. In Jesus' name, amen. See, the Bible says it's that easy. If that was you this morning and you prayed that prayer, then fill out the card in front of you. You can drop it in the offering bucket on the way out, or there's a big QR code in the foyer you can scan if you'd like to do it digitally. We're just going to send you some stuff. Hey, do this. This is your next steps. And you can begin to do that. Let me also encourage you in something. I want to be specific in this. Before we leave every Sunday, whoever's closing out our worship time will tell you, hey, to my right, your left, there's somebody over here that wants to pray with you. Please hear my heart. We do that because I can't pray. I would love to pray with each and every one of you, but time just doesn't allow. Now, we'll pray with as many as we can. So we have people over here every Sunday, and their heart is to just pray with you, to just agree with you, to just, you can tell them as much or as little as you want, but just so that you know that somebody else is walking through this. This is where the not do more mode, but maybe do less and come over and let somebody pray with you and be in agreement with you about what you need God to do in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand with me if you would? If you're visiting, we sing one song at the end, and it's just kind of do what I call settle time, to maybe let the message of God that we heard today just settle in your hearts. Again, if you need something, find somebody with a sticker. Don't forget, there'll be people over here that will pray with you, and we're going to see God do some mighty things. Amen? Amen. I'm going to bless you, and then we'll sing. God, I thank you for my church family. God, I'm honored that I get to be a part of something that gets to change the world, change Scriven County, and change Sylvania. God, use us in any way you choose. God, we as a family just make ourselves available to be pointed, directed, and guided by you. God, I thank you for it now. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.